With the 2016 presidential election, along with all of the congressional races now just days away, today we're going to spend some time on the issues voters say matter most to them and what the presidential candidates have been saying about them. We start with health care. Obamacare brought with it a large number of promises about savings, security, and convenience, which have, over a rather quick period of time, become more costly, unstable, and challenging to deal with. As we talked about not too long ago, Obamacare rates are going up in 2017. The reasons are several. The solutions to this are either in limbo or just flat out being blocked. With us now to discuss all of this is a former FDA Associate Commissioner, current president of the Center for Medicine and the Public Interest, Peter Pitts. Thanks for being here today, Peter.
My pleasure. Good morning.
And the website for Center for Medicine and the Public Interest is cmpi.org. Turn back the clock, Peter. When you look at the mechanics, the structure, the financials of Obamacare, was there any hint that this was going to be sustainable and improve over time versus the path that we've seen it take?
Well, even during the debate before the passage of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, a lot of us in the healthcare policy business recognized that this was a very flawed design. Now, whether it was designed to fail or simply a failed design doesn't really matter. What's happening right now is that there are people out there who are having insurance pulled out from under them because of these tremendously double-digit rate hikes. And what Americans have learned is that there's a difference between having health insurance and having access to health care. And there are many millions of Americans who have health care for the first time, and their rates, their premiums are low or free because of federal subsidies. But what they're learning is that when they go to the doctor or to the pharmacy or to the hospital, they've got these huge copays or co-insurance fees that they were never told about because Obamacare was really sold politically as quote-unquote free health care. That's not the way it's working. You know, the design flaws also extend to the fact that healthy young people are not signing up, which is one of the reasons premiums are going up, because sick people use it. Healthy people are staying away because young people like my two sons, who are in their late 20s, recognize that since they can't be denied insurance, they're simply not buying it, and the penalty they've got to pay is less than the premium. So it's a completely upside-down, underwater proposition. So all of this was completely predictable. And what was also predictable, because it was written into the legislation, is that these problems wouldn't even start until President Obama left office. So there was a great deal of political kind of machinations in the design as well, which is another big problem.
And that whole part, too, about the healthy young not showing up and jumping into the pool has been the catalyst for a lot of the insurance companies to say, this is costing us way too much. We're out of here.
That's exactly right. And, you know, so it's not surprising that people like even Bill Clinton are saying, oh, Obamacare is failing. It's not properly designed. But what he means when he says that is that we need more government intervention, that we need a single-payer system. And I believe that it's not a question of needing more government. It's a question of there already being too much government. We've really got to unleash the power of the free market here. We've got to allow insurance companies to sell products across state lines, to increase options, to lower costs. And that really is one of the major problems here. People may have health insurance, but they don't have any options. And in many states, in Oklahoma, down south, you know, where they have only one option, you know, the products are bad. It doesn't give them what they need. And to my mind, you know, health insurance that doesn't give you the coverage that you need is not a public health victory.
Give you some stats, too. In New Jersey alone, the residents are going to see their premiums go up as much as 26%, average increase of around 17%. You expand the map a little bit, you have states like Arizona, Minnesota, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. They're going to see health care rates double. States like Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts as well. California on the lighter side, roughly about 10%. But again, that's probably because, Peter, that's one of the states, Nevada, probably Washington State as well, in Florida, where there's still enough companies in the exchange to keep the cost down. But inevitably, that tide is going to roll into those states, too.
That's right. You've really got to incentivize competition. And the Affordable Care Act does exactly the opposite. And when you remove competition, you remove options. And when you remove options, you remove coverage that people really need. And simultaneous, prices go up. So it's a perfect storm of healthcare stupidity.
Peter Pitts, who is a former FDA Associate Commissioner. He currently is the president of the Center for Medicine and the Public Interest, which is found at cmpi.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, one of the heralded parts of Obamacare was the expansion of Medicaid Problem is, in New Jersey, again, a prime example, maybe a proving ground of all that can go wrong with the government program is New Jersey. But anyway, it seems like the reimbursement rate for doctors for who take Medicaid patients is way below average in New Jersey along with other states. And it makes it challenging for someone who jumped onto that Medicaid gift to find adequate medical care now, because more and more doctors are either reluctant to or just outright refuse to accept Medicaid patients.
That's right. And again, totally predictable. We talked about it even before the law was voted on. And the result there is that rather than getting people out of the emergency room, which is a huge expense to the American healthcare system, this lack of doctors who accept this type of coverage is increasing, driving even more people to the emergency room. So we've got this upside down situation of people who have health insurance still needing to go to the emergency room to get their health care, which is unsound. It's extremely expensive, not to mention inconvenient. And, you know, no one's talking about it. You know, people are still lying, basically saying, oh, what a huge success. Look at all the people that have health care. But again, simply measuring the people that have health insurance is not a way to discover whether or not this law is working. And clearly, people across the country are very upset. You know, they're unhappy. Their rates are going up. Their options are going down. The quality of care is going down. Doctors are upset. Insurance companies are bailing faster than you can shake a stick at them. So I don't see how people can view this as a success. You know, there are a lot of good things in this law that we can protect and still fix the design. But, you know, the answer is not more government. The answer is less government, a more robust free market proposition, greater options, and better care for, you know, millions of Americans who really need it.
So when you look at Obamacare and its current state of affairs, what one part would you first want to eliminate, and what part that exists would you, if there is one, would you want to expand on for a stronger foundation?
Well, the first thing you've got to do is look at it and say, how can we re-engineer this law to insert, you know, competition into the marketplace? And you know, one key thing that you can do, since this really is a law about insurance reform, is to allow insurance companies to sell insurance policies across state lines to recognize the economy of scale. I mean, I live in New York. I've got a family of four. I don't know why my family pays a certain amount for the exact same policy. A family in Michigan pays 20% less. It just makes no sense. You know, when Secretary Clinton talks about a Medicare for all option, which he's basically saying is that the government should be allowed to sell a policy across state lines, but not private insurance companies, that's an uneven playing field. If she feels that a nationwide option is on the table, I don't see why she shouldn't also support the fact that insurance companies should be able to provide options across state lines. It would really increase options. It would keep costs down. It would really hit at the nub of what's wrong with the Affordable Care Act.
As a maybe a peripheral, but maybe, you know, in the long run, it becomes a more centralized part of health care, is the pharmaceutical industry way overregulated? I mean, if you compare what a pharmaceutical company in the States have to go through versus in Great Britain, for example, or many places in Europe. I talk a lot about neuromuscular diseases here on the show. Yeah. And there have been drugs that have been tested and gone through stage 2 and 3 for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which are available through special authorization for the masses in England. But here in the States, an almost similar drug is still stagnating in stage 3 testing, and they talk about it in years versus months.
Well, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is already the most regulated industry in the U.S., and, you know, the soundbite is your drugs are too expensive. But the truth is, in fact, there was just a new report out yesterday from the Alcorum Institute that says that drugs represent 10% of our national healthcare spend, a dime on the dollar. You know, people are shocked when they hear that. It doesn't cognitively work with the political soundbites that are being used, you know, or the kind of the red-hot rhetoric in the media. The drugs keep people out of the hospital. It actually lowers healthcare costs. And drug costs are actually increasing at a lower rate than hospital costs and physician costs. So, you know, some truth here is required. But, you know, relative to people having access to drugs that are under development, the FDA already approves 99% of requests for access to experimental medicines. And I think if people want the FDA to act faster, what they really need is to then ask Congress and the president to give the FDA the funding to hire people to do it, because it really is a question of bodies looking at the forms, approving them quicker, and getting it done. I think that certainly needs to be on the table, but very few people are talking about it.
Just to wrap up, when you look at the, I mean, not to get political, but just with your expertise about what you hear between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton when they address health care, does either one sound like they have the right idea, the right track? I mean, it's always a difference when you talk from the outside looking in versus when you're sitting on the hot seat and have to make the decisions, but does either one say anything worthy of merit?
I haven't really heard, you know, either candidate speaking in great detail. I mean, obviously, Donald Trump has talked about letting insurance companies sell policies across state lines, and that's been going down in Republican circles since even John McCain. It was a good idea then, it's a good idea now. If Secretary Clinton is talking about increasing options, that's a good thing. But both candidates really are looking for villains here. They're not looking for allies. And it's like the Japanese say, don't fix the blame, fix the problem. We've got to move away from looking for bad guys to looking for allies. It's an ecosystem. And fixing American healthcare is not easy. It's not going to happen fast. And it's not going to be inexpensive. And those are not things that candidates for office like to say, but it's the truth.
Peter's also author of the book Become Strategic or Die, is the editor of the new book Coincidence or Crisis, which is a discussion and examination of global prescription medicine counterfeiting, and certainly a interesting inside look that only someone like with Peter's expertise can provide. And as you go to the polls on this Tuesday, healthcare obviously certainly a significant topic for your interest, both financially as well as for health. And Peter explains some of the whys. You'll have to do a little research and figure out who's got the best responses and the path to a better situation as far as healthcare in America is concerned. Learn more about the work and the focus of the Center for Medicine and the Public Interest at cmpi.org. We've been joined by their president, also a former FDA Associate Commissioner, Peter Pitts. Peter, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Have a good day.